From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of February, 2023. I'm Extension's Tug Gleason on remote today in DeKalb County, Illinois, at the Farm Bureau Building, hosting the Crop Management Conference for University of Illinois Extension. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Greg Johnson. He's from TGM, Total Grain Marketing. Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist, will be here to discuss tomorrow morning's 9 a.m. webinar. You can still sign up for that at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. That will go through the crop budgets for the 2023 growing season, line by line. And then the email that he sent to me, he'll also discuss a line that simply said, market more. And then, as we close out our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And along the way today, of course, I'll remind you to sign up for the All Day Ag Outlook. That's coming up the 7th day of March at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. You can register now at willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today settled at $6.76 and a quarter, down 6 cents. The May at $6.74, 5 3/4 lower. And December contract, $5.95 and a quarter, down 2.5 cents. March soybeans, $15.25 and 3/4, 11 3/4 lower. The May at $15.19 and a half, down 10 1/2 cents. And November, new crop soybeans at $13.75, 8 lower. Beet meal futures at $4.91.10. They finished down $9.90. The bean oil at $61.24, 84 cents higher for the day. Soft red winter wheat, $7.69 and a quarter, 16 3/4 of a cent lower a bushel. And the hard red at $8.94 and a half, down 11 1/2 cents. Live cattle futures at $164.60, 7 1/2 cents lower. Feeder cattle in the March contract at $187.32 and a half, a settlement price there, up 67 1/2 cents. And lean hogs at $86.50, 75 cents higher for the afternoon. Crude oil at $78.73 a barrel, down 34 cents. The U.S. diesel fuel or heating oil at $2.84, 9 9/10 of a cent per gallon or per barrel lower. And the gasoline on the RBOB is just about unchanged at $2.49 and 6 cents of a cent. Some of the outside markets at this time, the S&P 500 up 4.5 at 41.49 and a half, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 34,112, down 9 points for the afternoon. Greg Johnson from TGM Total Grain Marketing now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Greg. Thanks for being with us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be with you, Todd.
As we talk, which is about 11 a.m. today, because I'm traveling, of course, in DeKalb with the Crop Management Conference, the marketplace is lower, especially for soybeans, down 15 cents. What happened there?
I think it's a case of good news is actually bad news as the markets are concerned. January retail sales came out this morning, and they were much stronger than expected. So in a perverse kind of way, that has traders thinking that this better economic news means that the Fed probably will have to keep interest rates unchanged or higher for an extended period of time. That has in turn made the dollar a lot stronger. The dollar is sharply higher today, and a stronger dollar is weaker to commodity prices in general. On top of that, there was an announcement that the administration would be releasing another 26 million barrels more out of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. So that's pressuring crude oil this morning, which also pressures commodities. And then, you know, probably just as important, we did make five-month highs this week on Monday. We paid $6.90 for cash corn here and $15.50 for cash beans. That's the highest price we've seen since mid-September. So we're at some extremely good levels. So I guess we were probably just due for a down day, and all this outside news probably just kind of added to that negative sentiment today.
Given the due for a down day comment, is the underlying basis still supportive?
We're starting to see movement on both corn and beans, more beans more so than corn. So we're starting to see bean basis slip a little bit. And again, each week that passes by, we're 1 week closer to seeing the South American bean crop hit the export market. So we expect our exports to start slowing up. And I think some of the traders are you know, trying to be a little cautious. They don't want to get too many beans bought if they can't get them shipped out at the better levels. So I think that's part of part of the weakness in the bean basis here just this week.
Going back to the good news being bad news related to the higher dollar, exports have not been particularly good for the year. Can you tell me about both corn and soybeans and where they stand today?
Yeah, corn exports are well behind the pace that we need to hit the government's 2.1. No, actually, they're down now to 1.9. They've lowered that, but we're still off the pace to hit 1.9 billion. So we're going to have to see a pickup in corn exports at some point in time. Now, the bean exports, on the other hand, we're still ahead of pace of the government's 1.99 billion bushel export figure. So in my opinion, we may either need to see that go up a little bit in subsequent reports, or we're going to have to basically see our weekly exports go down into the low single digits, because at this pace, we would easily exceed that 1.99 billion bushel export estimate from the government.
When farmers call, what do they feel you out most about as it relates to the price of corn and soybeans?
Well, stocks are tight. 1.2 billion carryout for corn and a 225 million bushel carryout for beans. We're just one bad crop away from higher prices. We're just one good crop away from lower prices. So obviously, how many acres are we going to plant is the nearby question. And then obviously the question that nobody, at least nobody that I know knows the answer to is what's the weather going to be like this spring and this summer. So, if we have a good crop and a lot of acres, farmers probably should be selling a little bit more on these rallies. And on the other hand, if we have any kind of adverse weather this summer, we could see higher prices, and nobody knows the answers to that. So we're kind of stuck in this range. We've been in this range for several months, but as I tell people, it's a pretty good range to be stuck in, almost $7 corn and over $15 beans.
What about for new crop?
New crop prices are a little bit lower, but again, you can get almost $6 on the board. And if you pencil it out, I know the input costs are higher, but I still think $6 corn pencils out. It's not going to be as much money as what we've seen farmers make the last 2 years, but this may be a year where we just settle for keeping our head above water and being thankful that we made as much money as we did the last 2 years. This is definitely going to be a tighter year, but $6 corn, I think, pays the bills. And the same way on beans, I think $13.50, $13.75, certainly $14 beans would pay the bills. It may not be near as good as it's been the last couple of years, but I think it's profitable. And, this may be a year where we need to talk about locking in profits rather than, trying to hit the home run again.
I think back to the times talking with Darrell Good, ag economist, retired from the University of Illinois, where he would always tell me that the growing season is normal until it's not. If it is normal, do we have a burdensome supply?
Well, if you use 91 million acres and a 180 bushel yield and keep demand relatively stable, your carryout for corn goes from 1.2 billion to 2 billion. So 2 billion bushel carryout is not $6 corn where we are today for new crop. It's more like $5 corn. So I think that's your downside risk potential is $1 a bushel. If we have 91 million acres and if we have 180 bushel yield. So we don't know the answer to either one of those yet, but as time goes on, we think we'll have a better idea.
We'll continue to talk to you, and time will go on, and we'll have different answers as we go. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM Total Grain Marketing. And Greg will join us for our All-Day Ag Outlook at the Beef House on Tuesday, the 7th day of March. You can, too. WillAg.org. The cost is just $30 or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois, now joins us to talk about the webinar he'll be hosting tomorrow. I'll be there as well. It starts at 9 a.m., and if you've not signed up for a FarmDoc Daily webinar, you can do that easily enough at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look in the webinar section tomorrow. You're going to run through crop budgets line by line. This looks like one farmers really ought to pay attention to. To me, Gary.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, and we're going to look through the crop budgets and just think about any of those expenses that might come down in the future. Fertilizer costs, prices have been coming down, so we'll talk through about why that might be happening, talk about diesel fuel prices, and actually then talk about a whole bunch that we don't believe are going to come down. That will set us up to talk about 23, 2023 decisions, including commodity title, crop insurance, and marketing. But at the end, we're going to start focusing on 2024 and thinking about come this summer, come August, if we see prices in this range, what should we be thinking about? So that's the webinar for tomorrow.
And then the following week on Thursday, March the 2nd.
Yeah, and that'd be 2 weeks, by the way. We'll be talking specifically about the crop insurance decisions and ARC PLC. March 2nd, we will know the projected price and those sorts of things. So we'll talk about that in detail. The standard advice, though, is most people take RP at a high coverage level, and there's not a whole lot of reason to change that. So, but we can talk about tweaking that a little bit. But if you're RP high coverage level, you've got 95.5% of the risk management done.
All right, so that'll be in a couple of weeks on the webinar. Again, at 9 a.m. on a Thursday morning. One of the things that you wrote in the email to those of us who were following along with you about these was that the A part under risk management simply says market more, didn't have a question mark after it. What do you mean?
So if we, and we're going to show this tomorrow, typically at this point in time, we see more or about 30% of the next year's crops sold. 20 to 30% is what we would see sold. I'm going to suggest you do more this year. And that's not a price projection so much as, we are buying a lot of high-priced inputs. Let's put some downside risk protection on it. Again, there is this chance that we will see lower prices come fall, and that would be triggered by a good harvest in South America and good crops here. Typical thing that leads to declining prices and, buying high-priced inputs and then filling it in with low prices isn't exactly a winning combination.
So you go all through that tomorrow. That's at 9 a.m. You can sign up for this Farm Doc webinar online right now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look in the webinar section. You also see there a sign up button for the All Day Ag Outlook. You can push that one too and get yourself signed up. And Gary, we'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow on the following week for the final wrap up of IFAS Online for a webinar, March 2nd. We'll be back with you again at 9 a.m. for the second part of this two-part series you and I have been discussing. And then, of course, over at the Beef House for March the 7th.
We will all be there and looking forward to it all.
Thank you much. That is Gary Schnitke, agricultural economist from the University of Illinois. On this Wednesday, let's check in on the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Hi, Drew. Thanks for being with us today.
I hope you're having a good day.
Well, I am here in DeKalb at the Crop Management Conference put on by Illinois Extension. That's the continuing education for farmers and others that help to work the land across the United States, in this case, across the state of Illinois. However, speaking of the United States, it looks like there's some snowfall, even in this part of the world, maybe tomorrow, but that has come in parts of the southwestern United States at this point. Is Kansas, Oklahoma, are they catching a few some precip out of this snow?
Certainly, Kansas is, and Colorado and southern Nebraska. Oklahoma, the panhandle's getting a little bit of snow, but they're really not going to get it very far into the southwest or west central part of that state. It is mostly a Kansas, Colorado event with some counties in southern Nebraska to be involved as well. It's an aggressive little system. It does have some moisture associated with it. Maybe a We'll be seeing a tenth, upwards to 5 or 6 tenths of an inch. And that may not sound a lot for Midwestern folks, but for hard red winter wheat country at this time of the year, that's really not a bad amount of moisture. And some of the model data suggested upwards to 3/4 of an inch might occur in a few counties. I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. But nevertheless, we are going to get moisture, good coverage of it across some of that area. The snow accumulations probably run from 3 to around 7 inches. There could be some local totals getting up around 10 inches along the Colorado, Kansas, and Oklahoma border area there in the Southwest Plains. But once this is over, we're back into the dry again for a hard red winter wheat country. I really don't see this starting a long-term trend, at least not for now. I will tell you, though, that there is support for this kind of pattern to come back again later in the winter and early spring. So I'm still of the mindset here that hard red winter wheat country will actually have an opportunity to get a little bit better as we go forward through the spring.
Does that spread, as you mentioned, into the states of Nebraska, parts of the Dakotas, the northern and western parts of Iowa, where they've been very dry?
Yeah, there will be some of this that will reach into that area. It's actually the majority of the pipeline, if you will, for the greater snow will be from southern Nebraska and Kansas through the heart of Iowa, central Iowa, not so much the northwest, and then into southern Wisconsin and parts of Michigan. We won't do that well in northwestern Iowa, the eastern part, well, actually most of South Dakota, and a fair amount of Minnesota and on further to the north and northwest. Those areas will continue to have their below normal precipitation bias that's in place. But central Iowa probably see 3 to 9 or 10 inches of snow. It'll be a really nice little event. We'll see moisture totals there to 3/4 of an inch for sure. And extending from there right across northern Illinois and southern Wisconsin into the central parts of lower Michigan. So a nice little event for all of these folks. And it will be followed by some more drier weather, though.
Here in northern Illinois, it's been mild, wet, and windy today, though the wind's supposed to die down, and that should bring in some colder air and snowfall tomorrow, maybe?
Yeah, northern Illinois, we'll see a little wintry mix starting shortly before dawn tomorrow. Central parts of the state will see rain, and then we'll see all kinds of freezing mixes going on in the northern one-fifth of the state. Shortly before and shortly after dawn. And then as we go forward through mid to late morning tomorrow, we will switch most of the precipitation in western and northern Illinois over to snow, with the central area of south. Well, let's put it this way. The south central portions of Wisconsin and east central through southwestern Iowa ending up with the heaviest snows.
Will we have colder weather eventually in the broader part of the Midwest? It's been an awfully mild winter so far, with a few exceptions, for the bulk of us.
Yeah, and I think most of us would like to see at least one good, solid, cold shot, not just to be nasty to anybody, but we want to make sure we've killed all the bugs and all that stuff, and we can come into the spring season without any real concerns in that department. And yes, I do think that we will see some cooler biased weather. I think in the month of March, we're going to have 2 or 3 opportunities for some cold to come around. The big debate is just how cold will it be and how far south will it get. Most of my long-term trend modeling suggests that we'll see the cold move across a big part of the Midwest and really down into the Tennessee River Basin at some point in the month of March, probably not in the first days, but somewhere around mid-month. And we might actually have to wait a little bit for it to warm back up again across some areas before we get into the planting in early April. And I'm also looking at a 62-day cycle that's repeating in the atmosphere that will return in probably the second half of April. And I want to make sure that everyone's listening on that one, because I'm a little concerned that when that little surge of cold comes around, we might actually see some notable frost and freezes coming in. In that last, we'll say the last 10 days of April. And so if we get too early with some of the field work, could end up with nipping some crops. So keep an eye on that, too.
Oh, so that guy on Twitter that's planting soybeans in February, he'll have to think about that one. There is one. That always happens. Somebody gets started, and they've been working just on soybeans as an earlier crop in the year, and to see how far they can push it. Now, speaking of soybeans, we probably ought to look at South America. Work your way from Argentina through Brazil.
Yeah, the good days of rain in Argentina are definitely over now for at least southern Argentina. We went through a nice period of improved weather, but it is over, and I don't see a good solid drink of water now coming up into the southernmost parts of the country through the end of the month. So that includes much of Buenos Aires, La Pampa, southern Cordoba, southern Santa Fe, and a fair amount of Entre Rios. Those provinces will not likely see much moisture. Now, there is a chance on the last 2 days of the month that they could get a little moisture. But between now and then, doesn't look real good. It's going to be cool for a while, and that'll conserve the moisture a bit. Their subsoil moisture profile is really not a terrible disaster in quite a few production areas. But as we go through these next 10 days without rain, even though we don't have the kind of heat that we had last week, there's still going to be a rise in crop stress and some concern, because we will deplete some of that subsoil moisture. So we do need to keep watching Argentina. We actually have a ways to go for some of the late double crop beans down in the south anyway. So the whole month of March will be very important for getting rain there. Now, in Brazil, the situation there is a little different. First, Rio Grande is going to have a pretty tough stretch here of time. Their moisture profile is very quickly becoming more and more depleted. They'll have a chance for a few showers briefly here as we finish out this week. I'm not looking for good soakings, though. And then after that, they're going to go dry and probably be dry for a good solid 7 days and maybe as much as 10 days after that before their next opportunity for rain. So the Rio Grande do Sul has a lot of later developing soybeans, and so they'll need to be watched from that perspective. And then just further to the north in Paraná, parts of São Paulo, southern Minas Gerais, and Mato Grosso do Sul are going to be seeing a regular occurrence of rain, and they are saturated all the way down deep in the ground. They cannot get a break. They have to have multiple days of dry weather, and that is not in the forecast right now. So there will be some ongoing delay in the soybean maturation and harvest in those particular states. A little farther to the north in Mato Grosso, the situation has improved over the past week. We've actually seen less frequent, less significant rains, and the ground has firmed up a little bit. I think harvesting should be going much better in parts of Mato Grosso right now. But this weekend, for about 4 days, starting this week and going into early next week, there will be a higher frequency of rainfall in Mato Grosso once again. So a little setback for them, but it only lasts a few days. And I do see high pressure building in as we move into the second week of the two-week outlook. That should help get them back on track. So I don't think that Mato Grosso is going to be seeing any extended period of delay in farming activity, not like these states farther to the south.
Hey, thanks much. We'll talk with you again next week.
You bet. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. If you, by the way, have not picked up your tickets yet for the All Day Ag Outlook, Tuesday, the 7th day of March, go online right now, willag.org or farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. The cost is just $30.